So our gospel lesson today finds us and places us on the road on Easter evening. A man named Cleopas and his companion, perhaps his wife, they're followers of Jesus, and they're traveling the 7 miles from Jerusalem to Emmaus. They were lost in thought, discussing the events of the past couple of days, and Jesus, a powerful prophet, and all he said and did had been handed over by their own chief priests to be crucified. And there was this rumor of angels, an empty tomb spread by the women of the group, and a few friends had checked it out, and the tomb was indeed empty, but they didn't see Jesus. What were they supposed to make of all of this? And as they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself comes near and walks with them. They were so preoccupied with the grief, the disappointment, and the confusion, they didn't recognize him. And Jesus struck up a conversation, asking them what they were talking about, and they were stunned. Where was this stranger these past couple of days? And they explained the news with great sadness. They hoped Jesus would be the one to set Israel free. But now everything was lost. Even after Jesus started quoting scriptures to them, how it was necessary for the Messiah to suffer before entering his glory, they still didn't recognize this stranger as Jesus. It's ironic, isn't it? They were remembering this story, but not remembering the story. Remembering is different from remembering. I'm going to talk about this. I'm not talking about that horror movie called Remember. but what we're talking about, first of all, we know the word remembering is a task of recalling facts and events, right? Got that part of it. But remembering is another action. It's usually putting the task of putting the pieces back together, to remember, to put things back together, and usually to create a new picture, a greater whole in which brings us deeper insight and integration. So Jesus joins the journey in the process of remembering, putting things back together. And he starts by talking about Moses and all the prophets and interprets the things about himself. And in those hours that they passed walking to Emmaus, Jesus helps them hear the story from a different slant. Was it not necessary for the Messiah to suffer these things to enter into his glory? Jesus is remembering the story, putting it back together so they could see the larger whole. So when they arrive at Emmaus, they invite still this unknown companion for a meal. And the stranger took the bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to them. And in that act, their eyes are open and everything becomes remembered, put together, made whole. They recognize Jesus. Jesus is back, and he vanished, not as a punishment or a tease, but because the remembering had succeeded. Their hearts were now open and their minds awakened to the truth. Were not our hearts burning within us, they say, as he was explaining the scriptures to us. They wonder in amazement. Like Cleopas and his companion, we are always somewhere on the journey, right? Our life story is always, as we go along, as we get older, we always revise, revisit, rewrite, remember, seeing things from a larger perspective. And we find here how Jesus's story intersects with our story in new and dynamic ways. As you may know, as I mentioned last week, I went on with a team from my presbytery of Long Island to the border between El Paso and Ciudad Juarez in Mexico. with a border organization called ABARA, which is a community of peace builders and working on both sides of the border to encourage that journey together, to listen to each other's stories, to remember our lives together and find Christ in the midst of these. I would like to share with you that on this journey at the border, I met Christ in a meal. I met Christ through a 22-year-old man named Sextos. Seis in Spanish, for those who know Spanish, is the word for six, right? So Sextos was nicknamed by his high school friends as Six or Six Toes, because it was Sextos, right? Okay. Anyway, so Sextos came to the United States with his mother and sister when he was 3 days old. His mother made the cross over the Rio Grande River and reunited with family who had resettled in El Paso. Seis's family coupled the life together. His mom cleaned homes. His dad washed and detailed cars. Seis didn't know he was illegal until he was in high school. And when he was 17 years old, his family's fortunes changed a bit, and they found a place where only two people could stay. So Sextos lied to his parents and said, "I have friends I can go live with." In reality, Seis became homeless for about 6 months. He slept under a canal with the cardboard as his blanket. He slept in a junked car. Now, he got up early to eat at a 5:30 a.m. breakfast at a local church, then he could take a shower at 6 a.m. before heading off to high school. And skipping lunch, he would go to the Salvation Army for dinner. And Seis would do his homework at the local McDonald's, digging receipts out of the trash to make it seem like he had eaten there. And then he would go back to the car. His clothes became well-worn. He stuck cardboard in his shoes to cover over the holes. And through this time, he maintained and graduated with a 4.0 grade point average. Seis never saw a doctor or a dentist in his life, never saw life outside of El Paso. Then Seis, what he did see, though, was that his friends could move on to college while he had to get by with menial work. Seis felt there's nothing wrong with the work that he had to do, roofing and construction, but he wanted more for his life. He wanted to go to college, like many of his friends had. But these pathways were closed to him because of his immigration status. Friends offered to marry him so that he could get a green card, but he said, "No, I'm not going to do it that way." After his father died last year, Seis decided the only thing he could do was deport himself back to Ciudad Juarez. And for the first time, he got a birth certificate and an ID. But on that side of Mexico, although it was his country of origin, it was a foreign country to him. The United States was where he was raised. That was home to him. All his family was in El Paso, just a few miles away, but now he can't visit them. His home of 22 years is closed to him. He can speak Spanish very well, but he doesn't write well in Spanish. But with the help of ABARA, this agency that sponsored our trip, Seis found a place to stay. He's taking an exam to get into the local university because he's planning to study engineering. Say says he's not happy, but he's also not sad. He understands he has nothing against the U.S., but the American dream? No, it's dead to people like him. I don't know what you think about immigration policies. Some people think Seis did the right thing given his alien status. But to be honest with you, I believe people who lost out is us. Because here was a young man with a dream, who worked hard while going to school, got good grades, stayed out of trouble, didn't do drugs or drink. Sace's story to me was an example of how we need to remember how we look at migrants and our policies that we have developed over the years. And we need to remember them into something that is perhaps something more just and humane and invests in young people who want to work, who want to give back, who want to improve our country. I hope listening to Sace's story, this little snippet of it, can lead us to listen to the countless stories of other migrants who seek to remember a system that is big enough to include the dreams of someone like Sestos. Because you see, that's what I believe the gospel today calls us to do for each other, because we're all on this some journey, and we are to be companions for each other and to listen to the stories, connect to the stories and other faith journey, to offer that hospitality. And in this way, we act as Jesus did, opening minds and hearts to the larger, grander story that Jesus laid out for us. Because you see, our lives are a constant process of remembering, to remember the story as Jesus tells it, so that we can see all that we miss when we don't look at the larger picture and to share that sacred meal and time together. So today, as we come to the table, I invite us to remember, to open our hearts and into imagination of how we can remember our stories collectively, and our larger stories of people like Sestos that will tell us and remind us we are a resurrection people with hearts that burn within us and eyes that can open, that can take in all the stories that Jesus is opening our eyes to see. Amen.